struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, Valentine's Day is here. Good morning. Live from Midtown, New York, it's Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. No, it's not John Wayne. Yeah, I do walk like I just got off a horse. Love is in the air, baby. And on the air. The Big Apple today is like one big mushy heart. Even the program director, Jesse's all nice and mellow and in love today. Alex is in love and Cupid's flying all around them. Love knows no gender. Boundless. Got a great show ahead of you. Going to be talking about a lot of great things. The Grammys, The Star is Born, Barbie doll. There's new disabled Barbie in a wheelchair and with a prosthetic device. Video games for the disabled. Richard Branson launches a disabled program. That and much more. Of course, we couldn't do the show without you. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. So I felt like I was one of the last people on the planet to see A Star is Born. And I have to say, I guess it was worth the wait, you know, because when you have kids and working multiple jobs and business, etc., you don't get to the movies too much. And when you do, it's usually for a kid's movie. So I finally got to see it the other night. And I really liked it. I thought it was very well produced. I still can't believe that Bradley Cooper, his directorial debut, was that movie. And it was phenomenal. Even the opening scene gave me chills. It starts out stage side and you just see him jamming the lights, the crowd, the euphoric feeling. It was really, really well done. And if you saw the original and or know the storyline, you know how it ends. If you don't, this will be a spoiler. So either check out for a little while or just be prepared to know the end. He dies by suicide. It's really a shame, and you know it. You see it coming. The real good thing about the storyline is it does what every movie of this genre sets out to do. It's all enveloping. It kind of sucks you in. You actually feel like you're in this relationship because you like her. First of all, she's very demystified because you see her, you know her as Lady Gaga, and here she is. She appears on the screen and she's just really beautiful without all her, usual makeup and garb and, posse and everything. She's just stripped down. She's just like the girl next door. And then she belts out these songs like wearing a waitress uniform or when she just meets Bradley Cooper. And you're just like, whoa. I mean, you could see it in Bradley's eyes and his character that he is mesmerized by her from note one. He actually sees her in a drag bar performing because she used to be a waitress there in the movie. And she goes back to do a little cabaret scene and she sings a classic French song and she just nails it. So it's really interesting, number one, to see her in an entirely different light. And it's funny because you think of her, she's like a new version of Madonna with much more talent, much more talent. And I feel this is, I think I may have read this as well, that I feel like Madonna probably cringes every time Lady Gaga gets a role like this. Because, Madonna had, she had a big role. She was, what was the Spanish movie name? It'll come to me in a second. She was the leading lady. And it's going to bother me. We'll come back to that anyway. But she, she's done well. She's no slouch by all means. But Lady Gaga has taken it to an all new level. And it's interesting because Lady Gaga was not the first one considered for this role by any stretch of the imagination. She was actually fifth, sixth, or seventh choice. And Bradley Cooper was one of the original choices. And he was approached back in, I want to say 2011. Or 2009, and he said he's not ready. Evita was the movie that she was in, and she really knocked it out of the park for her. I mean, I think that Lady Gaga has much better acting chops, but Madonna was good in that role because that's kind of suited her, a woman of mystique, prestige, and what's another word I'm looking for? She just had the air of a dignitary, somebody who has a statesperson, possibly. So, but with Lady Gaga, I think she really, really fit the part well because she was able to be grounded and just be and evolve into this character. Bradley Cooper, I think this is kind of like him in life, just kind of a mellow dude. His character he plays is someone who really lives his life through music. And Sam Shepard plays his brother. And they actually sound alike because Bradley Cooper brings his voice down an octave or two throughout the movie, which is pretty interesting. And I'd love to read more about how he did that. But how it all came together, the ensemble. I think Sam Shepard was nominated for Best Supporting. Don't think he got it. But his role was great. A pivotal role because it basically the storyline unfolds where Bradley Cooper's father died when Bradley was 13. And so he was raised essentially by his brother, Sam Shepard, who played the character of his brother. And so when Bradley Cooper is basically schnockered, falling down drunk, wetting himself, peeing himself, his brother helps out. And he's there for him again and again. And he tells a story, actually. I laugh about it because I actually laugh about it in the movie, where he goes to a rehab, where he the final straw kind of brought down Lady Gaga, her character, his career. So he goes away, and he's talking to a psychologist or a member of the facility where he's staying. And he said, yeah, you know what? I tried to take my life once when he was at a really young age. I think 13 or 14, the character, not Bradley Cooper. And he said, I put something around a ceiling fan and it just came crashing down on me. And it was a hysterical scene because they all just, the both of them just really relate and find humor in the darkness. And it was a great scene. And unfortunately, that's how the movie ends. Close to the ending is where Bradley is met by Lady Gaga's manager and basically derails him. He's just out of rehab and basically says to him, listen, you're drinking water right now. It's only going to be a matter of time before you slip and you're going to end her career. So, you know, it really sends him for a loop and that's it. He can't deal. Whatever was light glue, rubber bands, whatever paper clips were holding him together, that was it. He couldn't survive. And it's sad because it's very reflective of a lot of situations, scenarios in society for people. And I'm going to play a clip momentarily that kind of signifies how important the film is for Lady Gaga. And certainly I found the film to be very entertaining. Number one, I love music. I love live music. I love the whole atmosphere of I did live sound for years, sound for on stage, monitor mix it's called, house sound, being there 10, 12, 14 hours before a show, have an empty venue, doing sound checks. So I kind of am nostalgic for that type of scene. And then you throw Bradley Cooper in there. The camera loves him. He's awesome. His singing was great. His guitar playing was pretty cool. So Willie Nelson's son, I forgot his first name, worked with him. And that's actually his band in the movie. So it's a tight band, and there's some really good music. He's got like three songs that are solo, Bradley, besides the Lady Gaga duets that he does. But I thought it was really well done. So this clip actually is from the Grammys, and this shows you how excited and how important this movie was to Lady Gaga, and more importantly, the message she conveys.
Two. Let's see what we got here. Shallow, Lady Gaga.
Oh, so much. I gotta thank God. Thank you for looking out for me. Thank you for my family at home. I love you. Thank you. I wish Bradley was here with me right now. He's at the BAFTAs over in the UK. I know he wants to be here. Bradley, I loved singing this song with you. And if I don't get another chance to say this, I just want to say I'm so proud to be a part of a movie that addresses mental health issues. They're so important. And a lot of artists deal with that. And we got to take care of each other. So if you see somebody that's hurting, don't look away. And if you're hurting, even though it might be hard, try to find that bravery within yourself to dive deep and go tell somebody and take them up in your head with you. I love you. Thank you so much to the Grammys. Thank you.
So poignant. Really well done. Lady Gaga shining on her first Grammy right there. And it's so true that that's our job. It takes a village, right, to watch out for people, to know and to recognize. And it may be somebody possibly that you're not even close with, but that could even have more of a pivotal effect on somebody when you reach out to somebody. There's somebody that I've got connected with in my life a couple years ago. We actually went to college together and didn't really know each other. If at all, it was very, very peripheral. And we reconnected and realized that, met. He actually came up to me after I gave a speech on mental illness for the state of New Jersey. And he came running up to me, walking, but it was very, very fast. I mean, I was off the last stage, the step on the stage, and he was like, whoa. And he's like, whoa, that was intense. That was great. Thank you so much. You connected with me. And we started talking, and a few minutes later, I realized that we both went to college together. He's like, oh, I went to William Paris. I'm like, wow. He's like, you look vaguely familiar. So anyway, he found a picture. She had a party at his place, and I recognized a lot of his friends. But he's been going through a rough time, and I've been calling him and checking him on several days a week. He's in a relationship. I mean, he's a grown man. He's been down this road before, but the reality is that I want him to know that I've been down that road before. I want him to be reminded that there's someone always there for him. And I'm also there for him to listen, for him to tell me that, you know, he's hurting, he's having a bad day. And I could hear in his voice as soon as I talk to him whether he's hurting or whether he's, you know, it's a less of a hurtful day. But the one thing I was imploring him to do was, he said his girlfriend knows about his past, but he didn't want to bombard her with what he's feeling now. And I didn't want to lay into him, certainly, about why he should. But, after a few conversations, I would say to him, oh, did you speak to so-and-so, your girlfriend? And he said, no. I said, well, what's your reluctance? He said, well, she's got a lot on her plate. And I said, well, don't you think everything that happens to you in your life is important to her? He's like, yeah, it is. I said, well, wouldn't you be upset and sad and maybe hurt if she was going through something really heavy and traumatic and she didn't share it with you? So that kind of caught him off guard. And I just wanted that to be something he really kind of simmered on because, you know, here I'm not that far away from him, but he needs to have somebody in his life that is his, love of his life, who knows exactly what he's going through. I'll be there for him, but he needs somebody who he can tell absolutely everything to. He can tell everything to me as well, but for the person who's in that trench with him, the foxhole with him, day in and day out. So I was kind of begging him to do it, and he's like, how about you do it this weekend? He's like, I'll think about it. So I still don't think he's done it, but I'm not going to give up on him because I said to him, listen, if you don't think that she can take it, or wouldn't be able to be receptive enough to help you, then your relationship isn't as strong as you think it is. Actually, I don't think I said it this way. I think I couched it the other way. I think I said your relationship is strong and it can take the news of your mental illness, your depression, that you will beat, that you have beaten, and that you will, down the road, when it descends upon you again, also beat again. So, I mean, so the point is that, you know, we have to be there for other people, whether even if it's a colleague, you can take them aside and say, hey, listen, I just wanted to check in with you. Everything okay? You just seem not yourself. And I know it's tough, but, you know, maybe tell them about the employee assistance program, or just tell them that you're there for, you know, them to talk to, et cetera. It's really, really important. And it's great when stars do this. And there's a different take on this, and I don't know how I stand on it. There's a lot of people, a lot of organizations in the mental health field that feel that when stars talk about it like this, it's very much a platform that they use, and they use it, you know, wholeheartedly for the purpose of showing and disseminating information, vital information, and to prove that, you know, they're just like everybody else. But they feel that it's not talked about enough. And I agree. But I also feel that, well, isn't that a starting point? Isn't that ground zero? I think we're past ground zero. I think in the last 5-7 years, we've made great strides, especially on social media. People just texting about it. People tweeting about it. And yes, are those in personal mediums? Yes. But is a message being out, sent? Is there communication? Is there dialogue? Yes. And I think that's gargantuan. I'm a believer of, you know, it's got to start somewhere. I mean, not everyone's going to open the floodgates and every organization's going to be, you know, loosey-goosey and gushy about it. But the reality is there's got to be a starting ground. So if Lady Gaga gets up at the Grammys and a reception speech and talks about the significance of mental illness, that's paramount. And I don't think it needs to be read into. I think it needs to be used as an example for stars, celebrities, everyday people to use that message as well and realize the importance of being honest with yourself and honest to others and knowing that you're there and telling other people that you're there for them during good times and bad times. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell, 888-874-4848. Make that 874-4888. So I read something today that was kind of cool. I'm not a huge Valentine's Day guy. You know, it's cool. I don't think we need a holiday to tell people how important they are in our lives and how much we love them. So I guess that's the real reason why I'm not a big fan of it. But I read a good quote today. It's from Helen Keller. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. And that comes from an organization that I work with closely, based out in Brooklyn. Big hello to Joe and Mary and everyone doing fine work at Helen Keller. But yeah, I'm a big believer of that. As a matter of fact, I wrote a text today to my niece and her wife. They had a baby about 6 months ago, and I wrote the baby a text. It's kind of a wink, wink, to say, hey, so are you trying to figure out what all this hubbub is about all today? Why are the flowers? Why the extra smiles? Why is everyone doting over you more? The chocolate? I know you can't eat the chocolate. You're 6 months old. But what is all this about? I kind of go on about this funny text about saying, hey, well, it's a day where people really just want to show extra love and appreciation to everyone that's in their life that's important to them. And I can read the bubble over your head, to the baby, I say, that you're wondering, well, why? Why on this day once a year? And I said, well, I'm sure you're going to be smart enough to realize that this doesn't have to be executed and done once a month out of the year. This is something you can do and will do to the people that you cherish and enjoy in your life. So I went on, did some other funny little quirks. But the reality is it's true. I'm speaking to a six-month-old, but, you know, there's people who are 30, 60, 80 who still don't have the capacity to love themselves, which is huge. And if they can't love themselves, most of the times they can't love other people or let them in to be loved. So on a day like this, that's named after, I'm trying to remember the history of Valentine's Day. I think it was a It wasn't a priest. It was a maybe a pastor, something like that, in the Italian army. And he married guys and girls during wartime. And that's how it came. I think his name was Father Valentine, something like that. And so Valentine's Day was formed years later. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, that the United States certainly by far. Actually, I'm not sure if this is an international holiday. Probably not, because the rest of the world's smarter than us. They don't get bamboozled by Hallmark holidays. So with the Grammys, it's very interesting. I read an article the other day, getting back to that. I wanted to mention that the New York Times had an interesting article about sound, how sound is changing, because it was on the heels of, is rock and roll dead? Because rock was really not really portrayed in the Grammys. And yes, that article was right. But to the most part, Chris Cornell, who unfortunately died by suicide a year and a half ago, his latest project, or last and final project, won a Grammy. And his two children were the recipients. They took the award and were very, very well-spoken. And, you know, that's a tough thing to do. Speak about your father who took his life. And there you are on the stage of the Grammys. And God bless them, because they did a great job. But Chris Cornell, certainly from Soundgarden, is a real big rocker. And you think about this. I work at another radio station. It's a classic rock station. And I said to them recently, we have to capitalize on this upcoming summer, because we have more classic rock icons on the road in 2019 than we'll ever have again, simply because, you know, they're not going to be around. Paul McCartney, got The Who, The Stones, members of Queen, Foreigner. There's a lot of huge bands that are on tour this year. That's incredible that they're not going to be around for that much longer. So I'm like, you guys got to capitalize on this, you know, make this. And I gave them a theme for the summer to really, because it would sound great on the radio, you know, to think about all these, you know, stellar, iconic acts out and about. But the reality is rock is not dead. It's not dead. Certainly if you watch the Grammys, you'd be like, oh, OK, well, if I live in a Grammy fishbowl, yes, rock is dead. Yes, they did have Hot Chili Peppers playing with just forgot his name, and the song was okay. I'm not really a fan of Chili Peppers. Are good, they're a good band. Not a fan of the song, but anyway, it's good to have them on, representative. But the article about the New York Times is talking about sound, the actual sound, how sound has changed, because there used to be peaks and highs in music, and a lot of modern music, the threshold has been raised. And there's a lot of the backstory is essentially that there used to be audio specialists, engineers. They used to get hired just to make peaks in audio when it was analog, not digital. And then with the advent of the digital platform, they raised in competition with each other, and also determining that people were listening mostly on their PCs when streaming started to happen, to raise the noise level, the threshold. So the say it was maybe -6 or -12 dB before. They raised the threshold to +3 or +4 decibels. So the peaks are less noticeable, where before the sonic sound was much more obvious. And so it's an interesting article. If you Google in the New York Times sound, how sound has changed, it'll come up. It came out, let me see, I read it, I think on Sunday or Monday. Really pretty fascinating article about how, I mean, sound itself has just been so revolutionized that the digital medium and recording, and I like how some bands still record on analog, because drums get the best reproduction in analog tape. It's fuller and more bandwidth, has just a richer timbre, and certain vocals are better with digital recording. So it's kind of a mix match in terms of preference, in terms of, like, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters has all analog gear. He has both, but he recorded his last or two albums ago, an entire album with analog gear, because it has a different, a fuller feel. It can be recorded, and then it can be mixed down digitally, et cetera. So there's all kinds of combinations. But I thought the overall show of the Grammys was not that great. Post Malone was the artist who sang with Chili Peppers. And also, Anthony Kiedis looked like a porn star, man, didn't he? Oh, my God, that mustache. Dude, you got to shave that thing. That's bad. Oh, man, I don't know whoever told you that looks good, but incredible. 27 past the hour. On the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell, and we'll be right back.
Talk with Mark now. Call 888-874-4888. Insight on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Celia Farber.
And I'm Christina Borgeson. We're the hosts of a brand new show, The Whistleblower Newsroom, right here on PRN. This is a show for and about whistleblowers. And by us, two investigative reporters brutally hammered for uncovering cover-ups and media corruption.
This show is for whistleblowers.
Who stand up for the truth and face devastating consequences. Who document facts and risk their lives and livelihoods to bring those facts to the public.
They come from all walks of life, government, science, journalism, academia, and many other fields. They'll be safe, warm, and welcome here on the Whistleblower Newsroom every Friday morning, 10 a.m., right here on PRN.
Hi, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and I am the host of The Love Code. As a naturopathic doctor, psychotherapist, author, lecturer, and lifelong spiritual seeker, The Love Code is an opportunity to expand inspiration, transformation, and rejuvenation in your life. Every Saturday morning, I have inspiring conversations with people who are living extraordinary lives, dedicated to service, dedicated to healing, and dedicated to transforming consciousness on this planet. If you're ready for your dose of inspiration, transformation, and rejuvenation, then I invite you to join me every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on The Love Code. See you there.
Hey, it's Jesse, PRN station manager. I have an exciting announcement for our amazing listeners. PRN has a new voicemail line that will allow you to connect better with our hosts. If you can't listen live but have a question or comment for one of our hosts, just call 862-800-6805. That's 862-800-6805. This feature will allow your voice to be heard on your favorite PRN show.
Thank you for listening to the Progressive Radio Network.
Talk with Mark now. Call 888-874-4888. Insight on the Progressive Radio Network.
And we're back. And it's still Valentine's Day. Oh, man. Hasn't slipped by yet. It's kind of doing something cute today. Which I do every Valentine's Day with my kids. We go out and buy at this really, really incredible chocolate factory. It sounds like Willy Wonka's place near me. And they make fresh chocolates in abundance, like whatever you name, nonpareils. I mean, chocolate boats, boxes, like everything edible. It's just disgusting. It's just it's a chocolate lover's dream, that's for sure. Anyway, I go there and I buy some chocolates that are good for melting down. Melt them down. Do the strawberries, dip them in, and give them to my wife, their mother, and she loves it every year. And of course, it's not a surprise because it's a tradition we do every year, but it's a lot of fun because making them, you get close to being sick of chocolate, but they look great, and I've gotten pretty good at it. The trick is you have to use wax paper or the other type of paper that where they don't stick to. Otherwise, it's kind of a mess, and then there's a lot of chocolate stuck to the plate. And what do you do with chocolate that's stuck to the plate? You have to pick it off and eat it, because what else can you do with it? So Barbie has introduced a new line. I'm very happy to say a couple years ago they introduced dolls in a line with a disability, and now they've introduced, after consulting with wheelchair experts at UCLA, a doll that's in a wheelchair and also has a prosthetic. And kudos to Mattel for being very reflective of society. A couple years ago, when they did introduce a different line, they had different skin tone colors, and they had different sizes. I think tall, petite, medium, and a doll that was a little more voluptuous. I didn't think I'd be using the word voluptuous when talking about a Barbie doll, but hey, here we are. But it's great news to see that Mattel gets it, that they're understanding more and more that, like on the show here, that people with disabilities, we had someone from Able Denim, and we had somebody from One Ray of Dreams, Marcy, on to talk about how people come in all different shapes and sizes with disabilities, and that people want just basic things in life, like a pair of jeans. Pair of jeans that they can put on without maybe a zipper, without a certain type of closure, something they can do if their hands have difficulty using buttons and zippers. So it's really, really important for Barbie to have a line reflective of this. I mean, do they have a long way to go? Of course. But, you know, they're eking along. I mean, look at our society. I mean, we are so far behind Europe in terms of accessibility, in terms of plans, services for the disabled. The government is much more, depending on the country now, but overall, the government is much more assistive with persons with disabilities. And I think we have a lot to learn. I know there's a lot of people. I'm not sure the White House, how they have, I can't imagine that they've been really breaking a lot of ground in the last 2 years in this area. But I would only hope that this is something that's pivotal to them. Not as pivotal as the wall or the partial wall, but something that certainly needs to be further pursued and examined and rolled out, because just using, actually, Mattel could actually be a leader. You know, they could really wrap their heads around creating like a town or a city, a school, and be really, really innovative and kind of create a platform or a model for, you know, our country to learn from. Yeah, I mean, is it Barbie? Yes. But just putting out an idea, that's how everything starts. And I'm going to go back to a story that I was going to introduce earlier, but I forgot, to be honest with you, about Valentine's Day. My son is was so set on creating something for Valentine's Day for school that was going to be unlike anyone else's Valentine's Day kind of prop. And I don't know what kind of guidelines they received, but he wanted to make a box where people would put the Valentines in, but not just stuff the Valentines in. He wanted to make a conveyor belt where you would put the Valentine's Day card on and it would bring it right up to the box and drop it right in. So, easier said than done? I say absolutely. So, I didn't know about this project until about a day and a half ago. And it wasn't explained to me in the extent that I'm explaining it to you. All I know is last night at 8:30, I dive into this project with him. And the reason why I bring this to your attention is because on the heels of what we're talking about, technology and innovation, my son is 9 years old, and the technology that he's been exposed to and the building opportunities that I expose him to, because I love to work around the house. I do a lot of carpentry, a lot of building, a lot of disassembling, reassembling, and assembling from scratch. Whether it's a closet redo, a wall knockdown, tables, decks, you name it. I love dabbling in it. So he's always been part of that. So here he is now, 8:30 last night. He's trying to show me this little motor that he ordered online. My wife got it for him. That's going to power this conveyor belt that which will carry the Valentine's Day cards into this box. Now, fast forward to about 11:30 last night. Blew through about two motors. His design wasn't working, but I was so darn proud of this kid for sticking with it. His resiliency to not give up, man, he was so determined. And if we raise a generation of kids like this and innovators for or have innovators like this at Mattel that can see that persons with disabilities have so much to offer And whether it's a Barbie doll or a Barbie community, create something that will spark an idea for someone who's also a spear, a trailblazer, someone who is just has that insight, who will be able to delve into research and collaborate with designers and then users and then be able to roll out a, whether it's a program, whether it's a physical product or something that can actually be used to really greatly benefit persons with disabilities in this nation and worldwide. Because the reality is there's so much money to be made into this. So if companies, I don't have a problem if companies purely go into the disabled community just to clean up and make money. As long as they're making a banging project, that's the reality. Because over 55 million people with disabilities, I think it's 57 now, have disabilities and have different definitions in terms of running the gamut, in terms of, you know, quadriplegic, visually impaired like myself, hearing impaired, etc. So it does run the gamut. But there is a lot of spending capital at the discretion of this community. 57 million people. That's gargantuan. And segueing into my next topic, during the NFL Super Bowl game, which seems like a really long time ago, doesn't it? Phew! I guess Tom Brady's still smiling, but it seems like a really long time ago, even though it's been, 2 weeks? It'll be 2 weeks this Sunday. So there was a video game that was rolled out for disabled users. And before I go completely into this topic, I want to say that I thought the best commercials, and this has been talked about, but I haven't spoken about it, during the NFL Super Bowl game were the NFL-produced spots. They were amazing, very well done. The creative aspect, the execution, the filming, the content, the scripts, everything, A-plus all the way, right down the line. And now this video game commercial I thought was also very well done. But there was very few and far between in terms of creative content, execution. The one I thought for, I forget who it was, Amazon or something with Harrison Ford, it was good, but it was way too long. As a matter of fact, when it came back to Harrison Ford, you're like, what? Oh, it's still the same creative, same spot, 60 seconds, which seemed like 90 seconds. Anyway, so video games for the disabled users, outstanding. Think about this. Think about like kind of the early internet age, 1997. When I started working for this company called We Media, the first magazine and website for persons with disabilities, I just thought about like how having the internet, just access to the internet, a world that was so far out of reach for somebody who was maybe in a wheelchair, who had no internet, who couldn't go to school, who had no remote access, who just felt remote. And all of a sudden, here comes the technology that allows you to talk with somebody across the country, across the town, across the globe. I mean, that is just mind-boggling. So obviously, we've come leaps and bounds in this time. But it's still, I'm one of these people, and I think it's important to always remember where you've come from and where we've grown and established ourselves in terms of work. For example, I may hear this show next week and be like, oh, it's a decent show. Then 2 months from now, I'd be like, oh my God, it was a horrible show, because we always raise the bar ourselves for expectations. We should be, because we don't want to just settle. Don't want to be in the middle of the packer. Anyway, so going to this disabled video games, I think it's paramount. I think it's right on. I think they've tapped into a great market. Even for baby boomers, if they start getting into video games, I mean, that's a huge demographic that are going to be need to be served. And I think disabled users with the video games certainly need to have the same opportunities, because the reality is there's so many gamers out there sitting on the couch and chairs for hours after hours that it's just a matter of time before they're going to become disabled. Their body's just going to break down, for crying out loud. As much time as they spend? Absolutely. So it's a great concept. I'm not into Fortnite and everything. My son tries to cajole me to play it. I'll sit there and watch him for a while. I'll just be like, how can you play this thing? It's so artificial. There's nothing real about this except for the dance move at the end, right, that everybody knows about. It's just something that I just can't relate to at all. And I don't know, maybe you can. Tell me what your perspective is on this. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Also, I got an email the other day about someone who says to me, oh, so what do you speak about? Because at the end of the show, I talk about quickly about different talks that I give. I give talks at schools, K-8, high school, and college, and corporate. So it depends on, say, a corporate talk. I talk about overcoming adversity and the kind of the foothold is you can't be yourself when you're not feeling yourself. So if there's something that's it's eating away at you, you're in a bad marriage, relationship, you have mental illness, experiencing mental illness, whatever the case may be, I give experiences in my life where it was very, very traumatic, trying, a lot of hurdles that prevented me from going a certain way down a path, but I would pick myself up and either choose a different route or dust myself off and continue down that road. So my talks are, you know, they're compelling, they're funny, self-deprecating big time, a lot of energy, colorful stories about things that you would not be able to consider that somebody with a visual disability would even think about embarking on. But I did, and not only did I would succeed, I'd excel at it, or completely fall flat on my face. So they're great examples about how the only thing pretty much stopping you is you. Whoops, sorry. And the microphone that I just banged into. So that's kind of the reality. And it's kind of neat because I loved being able to go into audiences. For example, in February this month, I'm going to be speaking next week for a conference for all counselors in the state of Jersey that deal with mental health, drug, and alcohol abuse in schools. They're called SACs, Student Assistance Counselors. And that's in Atlantic City. Great, great talk. Great to be able to share my stories of addiction, near addiction, alcohol abuse, et cetera. And there's unfortunately a lot of colorful stories and how I came to realizing that, you know what, my life is going down a bad, bad trajectory and how I need to change it. I get to speak to the state of New Jersey, Department of Special Education at Rowan University in 3 weeks, I think. A great talk about how my difference makes me stronger. That's my mantra, how my difference makes me stronger. Whether you have a disability, I say that we all have disabilities, whether it's real or perceived. Invisible, like mine, is not apparent because I don't bump into walls only after 2 or 3 bottles of wine. but my disability is invisible because it's not apparent that I have a visual impairment. That it's great to be able to speak to these kids and be able to, because I remember being in high school and feeling so different, but never, ever did I meet anybody with a visual impairment. Sure, we all went to school with people with glasses on. Our peers wore glasses and contact lenses, but nobody was ever visually impaired and wasn't able to have their vision corrected. So all these different stories about how I would kind of, open a path for myself, whether it was educationally, carve a niche for myself and decide to go into radio. Because great ears, bad eyes make great ears. How I would be able to maybe do cross country versus I couldn't play football, I couldn't take a blow to the head. How I could excel in carpentry. How the woodshop teacher in cabinet making class would tell everybody that no one's allowed to use the table saw, the most dangerous saw and tool in any cabinet woodworking scenario, that he was allowing me to use it over any student. It was just the instructor and myself. I mean, things like that that would propel me forward to make me feel bold and confident that despite my perceived limitation, that I was enabled to do things that I proved that I was capable of doing. So when I got this email the other day from a listener, a PRN listener, I felt very happy that certainly they were intrigued by that. So I felt that I wanted to certainly give you a little insight. It's markfarrellmotivation.com is a website. Mark Farrell, F as in Frank, A-R-R-E-L-L, motivation.com. And for corporate talks, I'm actually doing a real estate talk, which is really kind of neat. I was asked a couple weeks ago to do, someone inquired, they said, do you ever speak to real estate agents? I'm like, I have, which is kind of a little bit of a stretch of the truth, but I haven't done a real blown motivational talk. But I thought about it. I'm like, oh my God, I would love to do this. Number one, I love homes and dwellings because so much of your life takes place there, right? good times, great times, memorable times, and actually some sad times, bad times, hardships, right? Some people lose their homes. Some people create their families and extend their families and have extended families living in their homes. People build their homes. People renovate their homes. People lose their homes. It's so invaluable, the walls. But at the same time, I tell my kids, we kid about downsizing when they go to college, et cetera. And I said, listen, it doesn't matter where we live because home is wherever we are. Wherever we are together, that's what home represents. There doesn't need to be four walls. There doesn't need to be hardwood or carpet underneath our feet. Home is where the love is, and that's where we are. Wasn't that beautiful? Anyway, so I was asked by a real estate agent to come speak to her agency. And I'm really, really psyched about it because it's just something that I take a lot of pride in. I love my house. I take a great deal of painstaking pride in terms of renovating it. Always, you know, redoing this room, bathroom. My current project right now is I have a bedroom on the first floor that when we sell the house, we can sell as a dual master because it has a bathroom and a small walk-in closet. So I'm going to make the walk-in closet, which is just kind of like a makeshift pantry right now, I'm going to shelf it out big time and make it just really pristine. So when you open it, you're going to be like, whoa, who came in here? California Closets? No, Closets by Mark, by the visually impaired guy that takes two forms of magnification to see a tape measure. That's me. And I get the job done as good or better than a professional. So the talks are great. So, I mean, they're fulfilling, they're compelling, they're insightful, they're empowering that people leave and they feel emboldened. They feel confident. They feel like they too can accomplish whatever they set out to in life. And we all can. You know, think about the old expression, the old adage, if I may, that anybody can be president. You see where I'm going? It's so true. Case in point, Donald Trump president? Whoa, really? So, you know, we're totally in for a crazy, crazy race. And I'm not going to go on a tangent about this, but you know the next presidential race next year is going to be really, oh my God, you think the last one was ugly? Woo, everybody and their mother and brother and sister and grandfather and redhead stepbrother is going to be running in this race. So anyway, if you would like me to speak at your school, college, or corporation, or you have an inquiry, please email me at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com, mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Phone number is 201-344-7138, 201-344-7138. I'm based in New York area, but I have not traveled out of the States for a talk, but happy to. Especially if you're in Costa Rica, because I'm dying to go back there. Europe, hey, bring it on, man. Anyway, it's 49 minutes past the hour in New York City. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. And hope that Valentine's Day is not one of those days that kind of makes you feel dejected, because it can have that impact on you. I got a buddy of mine who recently separated with his wife, and that I'm sure this is not going to be an easy day for him. But if I get to speak to him today, I'm going to be like, listen, you had some good times, but you only had a few of them. You had some really, really rough times with this woman. So think about that if you feel dejected. I remember being single and going out on Valentine's Day and being like, this is the best day in the world to go out because there's no guessing game about if a girl is single or not. If she's single, she's out with her girlfriends or alone on Valentine's Day. That is a dead set clue that she is totally available, right? So I did some of my best former work on Valentine's Day because they were easy marks. And I sound like an asshole because I was an asshole back then because I used to be a womanizer. Yeah, exactly. I used to just be like, oh, all right, well, you know, oh, she's cute. Oh, I'm going to talk to her, buy a few drinks. And one thing will lead to another or not. But on Valentine's Day, I always got a kick out of going because you'd be like, oh, well, obviously she's out. So she can't be in a relationship because her boyfriend's not with her, or maybe that's her girlfriend, and I sometimes would have to find out that way. But it's always kind of an interesting night to go out. Tonight we're going to be going out with the family. Real romantic dinner for four. But that's okay. It's something that's it's important to me, certainly as a father and a husband. But it's kind of interesting how times have changed, right? How have times changed for you? You know, did you just get out of college? Are you going for your graduate degree? You just finished high school and you moved across country to get away from everywhere and have a brand new start. Are things working out for you? Are things different for you? Are you in a relationship that you never thought or dreamed that would be so fulfilling and so enriching? All these things are kind of interesting about how we age, right? There's no roadmap in life. There's no crystal ball to find out that, for example, there is a company in New York City here that owns multiple radio stations, and one of them was sold or will be sold. And they'll be flipping formats, and unfortunately, a lot of people will be out of work. So I've been there twice. Fortunately, I was rehired by the company twice because they like to have the start the clock over again on most employees. But, you know, it's loss of a job is, you know, a major setback in life, not only monetarily, but can be something that, you know, you have to re-navigate. You have to re-question or question everything that you're doing in life. Is this the right industry for me? Is this something that's happened to me before? Is this a time for reinvention? There's so many different things that happen in life that, you know, we can't predict. Well, when you're in radio, you kind of know that you're going to be sent to the curb. It's just a matter of time because the old expression adage is the kind of radio, if you haven't been fired in radio, you haven't worked in radio long enough. And also the reality in radio, one of the first things I learned in terms of a real lesson in radio is that there's 50 people in radio, 50 people in radio, because it seems like they just go around and around and around. I've worked with so many different salespeople in radio, so many different program directors, so many different general managers. In my, 20, 21 years, I've had close to 12 or 14 program directors. That's a lot of program directors in that amount of time, in that span of time. That's averaging a year and change, you know, year and a half-ish, not even. That's crazy. So it's a great medium. And, you know, the work environment or the industries overall in a collective macro sense have changed because the world has changed. Our behaviors have changed. And when you think about a company like Amazon or Apple that can really change the way we behave on a daily basis, that is something of gargantuan nature. To reinvent how someone listens to something, views something, finds information, publishes information, whether it's credible or not, lives their life, bases their life, good or not, is just still hard to wrap your mind around in this day and age that something has evolved that was created 10 years ago can have such a immeasurable effect on a society, societies worldwide, and how things can feel like the world was so gargantuan before has been kind of feels like it's been reduced. It's been shrunk to the fact where the world doesn't feel as immense as it did, you know, 10, 15 years ago. But the fact that the businesses and industries have evolved or devolved, depending on the case, drastically in the last decade is mind-boggling. It really is. Hope I didn't bum you out. Well, only if you work in radio. Always, I mean, I tell you, it's pretty funny when you see a movie like A Star Is Born, and you're like, oh my God, it'd be great to be an actor, but that's got to be a really tough gig. I mean, think about, I mean, all the stars that are out there, but the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who just don't make it, you know, that's a tough, tough gig. Man, to go after audition after audition after audition, man, I don't know. I think radio is a little bit safer. It's been a lot of fun today. Covered a lot of ground. Hope Valentine's Day is whatever it is you want it to be. Check out the movie Star Is Born. My homework for myself is to see the Queen movie and report back to you. Always special thanks to you for listening. Check you out next Thursday. My name is Mark Farrell. Enjoy.
Inside. Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM.
PRN.FM.
Have Mark speak at your company, your kids' school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.